Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, July 13th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr., and joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
What's up, Bless? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. I'm doing real good. Today is Monday, obviously, and I woke up and I saw one of my favorite tweets I've seen in a long time from Elliot Morgan, formerly of SourceFed. He tweeted out, he was just like, "We used to call these things Mondays." And it's just like, damn, if that ain't the truth. Is there a difference between these days at this point? Especially, we just did Ubisoft Forward yesterday on Sunday. And also, we recorded some other things. So it was like a full work day yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, so now, is this a Monday? Is this a Tuesday? I don't even know. But there's a lot of
At this point, I consider this Tuesday. And in fact, early last week, because it would have been an Imran episode, we talked about like just starting the year over again and just starting to introduce episodes as... This is January 1st, 2021. Would anyone notice? Would anyone care? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Tim, before we started this episode, you brought up some things that are rumbling, some rumors. I'm curious because, like, I guess there's some PlayStation 5 rumors that are going on.
There's some circulating rumors. There's some things going on. You wanna head over to Jeffy Grubgrub, see what he has going on?
Let's see what Jeffy Grubgrub has going on.
Let's see. He's talking about Grub Snacks still. He hasn't stopped that. He's been tweeting a lot here. Okay, here we go. So this is on his updated Summer Game Mess thing. He says, the PS5 release date / price today seems weird, but Geronimo _73 has been spot on for a lot of things. This also kind of leads credence to the July 20th Nintendo Direct. That also would be weird because it's a Monday. So here's the thing.
Interesting.
I've seen a lot of rumors going around, a lot of people in the industry talking about the fact that PlayStation might be announcing price and pre-orders opening up today, but totally unsubstantiated. And I get the gut feeling that these are just the type of rumors that someone heard somewhere and that is just being circulated. We don't have multiple sources going on. It's just kind of like a hype and understanding, because it would be pretty damn ballsy of Sony to just... not even give Xbox time to like think about it. It's just kind of like, oh, pre-order's up now. Go, you know, on this random Tuesday that we have going on right now. But I don't think it's going to happen, because I have it on fairly good authority. I've talked to some of my friends and connects in some of the different retailer sects of the world. And as far as they know, and they would be in the know, they are not prepped to put up pre-orders and stuff today. So... that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, but that kind of tells me it's not going
to
happen.
See, I feel like if it were to happen, this would be the way to do it, right? Like, I think this kind of falls in line with Sony's MO in terms of just announcing random things on the PlayStation blog. Like, they did it with the controller. They've done it with random stuff. I feel like for release date and price, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that we just get it on a random day. Like, especially if it's bad news, especially if it's like, the PlayStation 5 is going to be $600. I feel like that's information that you'd want to get out there and not have as part of a big presentation. And so if it were to happen, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility.
It's an interesting thing to think about in terms of the battle with Xbox right now, where it's like one of them has to go first at some point. Like, one of them has to announce the price. And then at that point, the other one can announce the price. And that's just the way things are. Right? Like, it's highly, highly unlikely, not impossible, that one of them announces a price, the other announces their price, and then the first guy does a price drop. You know what I mean? Like, that would be pretty insane. Could happen, though. I think it has happened before with the Saturn and PlayStation, if I remember correctly. But anyways.
You know what would be interesting? If they're not putting it on all retailers because numbers of production, like, isn't what it's normally going to be at. You know what I mean?
But that will piss off the retailers, though.
That's the problem. But like,
there's ratios they deal with. I know, but it's still one of those things where it's like we've seen it before with Nintendo at GameStop and Amazon separately at different times in their lives, where the retailers and console makers were at odds with each other, and the retailers like wouldn't sell their games or wouldn't sell. Like, put up things for pre-order or whatever.
But maybe this is their play that, like, they don't need retailers anymore, especially right now where, like, a lot of big-name retailers that sell consoles, like, you know what, GameStop? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. GameStop, yeah.
They could close again at any point.
Yeah.
You know,
but the retailers still count for online orders though. So this would essentially completely stop their physical game sales. There was the PlayStation Store that came up at some point. So it's like PlayStation could be taking that. There's so many moving things there.
Yeah, there's so many moving parts. And I don't like I hear where Kevin's coming from too, but I don't think we're at that place yet where a big console manufacturer would be willing to like make that stand, especially like leading up to a new console being launched. I feel like that is something that could go down in maybe like 5 years. I feel like right now is way too early for that kind of like flag to be planted.
Yeah, but think about it this way too. Like this, a little devil's advocate to that point is not only do we need to wait and we're not there yet digitally for games, you can't digitally sell a console. That still needs to be shipped, delivered. There's like a process there, right? That like PlayStation just simply doesn't have.
I mean, they have the PlayStation Store. You can buy a console right now from PlayStation.com, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but like it's not prolific
also,
enough.
Also,
you know?
I just feel like unless they're in mass production, full on everything running, they're not going to be able to have the numbers to sell it on like Target or Walmart. You know what I mean? Like the volume is going to be super high. I just think this is really interesting, and I have a feeling it's not going to be anything. But if it does happen, would you guys like immediately jump and try to buy one?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, probably.
No hesitation.
Yeah. I would.
Now the thing there too is like there's this, even if it doesn't happen today that the pre-orders go up, there's still a chance that a PlayStation blog post goes up and announces when they will go up.
Mm-hmm. Announcement.
Because that wouldn't debunk the information I got from my homies. Because then once that date's announced, then those retailers would be understanding, able to prep, able to plan for the influx of people coming to the site. So,
but you don't think the right way to deliver that message is by being like, hey, here is another big giant like event with news, and like at the end kind of pat it with like, oh, also they're going to cost this much.
Yeah, not if, I feel well, like it's bad news. No, like in because we expect the event in August, according to Jeffrey Grubb with his Summer Games Mess. We expect some sort of thing in August to where they announce more features, announce more games, do all the good stuff. I feel like if it's bad news, just get out of the way like sooner than later, especially like before Xbox. Like Xbox is coming up soon.
Creating the all digital one, like that must be created with price point in mind, right? Like, or else what's the point? So,
well, it's price point and then ownership of digital games.
Yeah, so price point is trying to like push that agenda for them.
Yeah, that is part of that 5-year plan to get to the point that one day they might not need the retailers, but at this point, they still do. Anyways, exciting stuff either way.
Wait, one more thing. But like, then why split up the like SKUs? You know, because you could do that.
It's
a year and a half.
But it's
years
what
later.
You said about price and this. It's all of it together. It definitely 100%. They're trying to have multiple SKUs to be able to be like, well, we do have a cheaper one.
Yeah, and it's also them trying to change the landscape. Like, we're not at a place yet where they can release just a digital console, but them releasing a digital edition is then ushering in the idea that, okay, yeah, I can have a library that is just digital. Like, I'm very curious about the percentages as far as how many people are going to get the digital only edition compared to the physical games edition, because I think the more and more you can push that border in terms of people going into digital only, the more and more you can establish that this is the feature now, this is the regular now. Especially given off the numbers we got last week from like Capcom and how many of their games are now selling digitally compared to physically, and how much we're seeing that envelope get pushed from so many different publishers and so many different developers. Like, it's only a matter of time before that is now, like, I think it's a long time before we get a console that doesn't have a physical version, like before we're in that digital only landscape. But I think it's only a matter of time now before digital is the norm over physical, which that's when those dominoes start to fall.
It is, blessed. Do we have the story today? Sorry, I should have looked ahead on this. That Greg put in the Slack about the PlayStation's smart delivery stuff.
No, I don't think we do.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm gonna pull it up and talk about it now, because that's how we do things here. on Kind of Funny Games.
Man, then this is we're not even at the Roper Report yet. This is a great time. This is a great show already, man.
This is just a little preview. This is just a little fun on this beautiful Tuesday. Okay, so this comes from PassCalf1 on Twitter, tweeted at us and said, here's some very interesting info right here about going from PS4 to PS5 versions of the game from Ubisoft.
Oh, is this for Ubisoft? Okay, we do actually have this in the actual story.
Okay, do you want to fucking talk about it now? Because we're adults.
Yeah, let's pull it. So actually, let's talk about it all together. I'm gonna get into the rigmarole. Of course, Tim, we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about a recap of Ubisoft Forward, and we're gonna talk about an NES made of Legos and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. teeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, we have a hands-on preview of Assassin's Creed Valhalla and another hands-on preview of Watch Dogs Legion. Those are both available on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and the First Impressions podcast feeds. That's Barrett, that's Greg. They're both talking about their experiences previewing both games. And so if you're excited for Assassin's Creed Valhalla and or Watch Dogs Legion, check out those First Impressions. Also, our Ghost of Tsushima review drops tomorrow at 7 a.m. Pacific time on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and the Gamescast podcast feed. Spoiler free, so watch it right away. And when you watch it, think of questions to ask, because PSLU XOXO is recording later in the day. And for that episode, we're answering all your questions you have about Ghost of Tsushima. Also, spoiler free. And so, you know, get us all your questions. Do all that good stuff. It's going to be me and Greg talking about all your Ghost of Tsushima questions. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Whoa. The crazy part is that Kevin is doing that with his mouth. That's the crazy thing about all of this. It's time for some news. We have three stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, it was a big weekend for Ubisoft. I'm going to do a big old Ubisoft Forward recap. I'm not going to get into like the nitty-gritty details, mainly just the headlines. And I'm basically going to section this out in two parts, because we had Ubisoft Forward, but we also had a lot of things that were leading up to Ubisoft Forward over the weekend. So that's actually going to be part A. We're going to start off talking about how execs are leaving Ubisoft. This is John Fingus at Engadget, who writes, "More executives are leaving Ubisoft in the wake of misconduct allegations. The company has announced via Kotaku that Chief Creative Officer Serge Hesquet has resigned immediately after liberation claims he enabled misconduct by other executives, including Tommy Francois. The publisher's managing director for Canadian studios, Yanis Malat, has also left immediately after multiple allegations against employees in the country made it impossible for him to continue in the role. Global human resources head Cécile Cornette is also leaving, although Ubisoft stressed that she made that choice in the best interest of the company's unity. Her exit comes alongside restructuring and strengthening HR to adapt to the new realities of the business. CEO and co-founder Yves Guillemot reiterated that the moves were vital to put an end to toxic behaviors and help Ubisoft improve and strengthen its culture. He maintained that the misconduct was in stark opposition to values that he never compromised and never will. Though these additional departures come just a few days after a slew of allegations surfaced against numerous employees across Ubisoft's offices. The accusations ranged from sexual harassment and intimidation through to abuse, racism, and retaliation. Some of the accusers added that HR and management would disregard complaints, making it possible for staff to continue misconduct. The unusual weekend timing likely isn't coincidental. The executive resignations were announced just before Ubisoft's Forward showcase. And then the morning of Ubisoft Forward, right before the whole presentation went down, Ubisoft then tweeted out the following statement via their Twitter. Ubisoft Forward comes during a time of big internal change. Because all the content has been pre-recorded, we wanted to recognize that the issues we're currently dealing with won't be addressed directly in the show. We still have significant work to do and are committed to this process. We will provide more updates soon. Tim.
Yes.
That's all just leading up to Ubisoft Forward, not even getting into Ubisoft Forward itself. Were you able to keep up with this as it was happening? And do you have any thoughts on all this?
So many thoughts. I think that this, you know, this is kind of a systematic issue that we're going to continue to face in the world that we live in today. And it's interesting to see how different companies have dealt with different issues differently over the last couple months, whether it's Corona, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's all of this Me Too stuff. And, you know, it's kind of upsetting to be people on the sidelines here looking at all this happening and just screaming into the void, feeling like we're screaming into a void where it's like, guys, this isn't rocket science. Like, there's certain things where it's like, just don't fuck this up. Like, there's a messaging that is just kind of necessary. And with this, it's like, cool. It's like, you obviously know that you need to make a message, but don't make the message on the weekend. Don't make the message be that, hey, the big commercial for all our games coming out later today that everyone's extremely excited for. It's pre-recorded, so we can't have this message in there. We're on the video side of things. You can do that. And I understand, having said that, we're on the video side of things. I know what would need to go into that. It's not as simple as, oh, just edit it and export and get it out. It's, you need to edit it. You need to export it. You need to have someone view it, make sure everything's good. You then need to get it to all the satellite trucks. You need to get it to all the different streaming services, whether it's GameSpot or IGN or Twitch.
Need to do it in multiple languages. Need to like
languages. Oh, yeah, exactly. And Ubisoft, I don't know if you saw yesterday, but they were really priding themselves on having the Ubisoft Forward available in like a ridiculously unprecedented amount of accessibility things with different languages and just different ways it was presented. There's a lot that goes into that. Delay the event then, if that's the case. I know that there's so much going into it, but it's like we're just out of place now that it's like that is the expected thing to do. And when you don't, even more criticism is going to be thrown your way because you're going to be analyzed even deeper and people are going to look into it and they're going to try to find conspiracy theories that may or may not be there. Right. And that's the thing is like, I'm not saying that they're not, because it doesn't look great that you do this stuff or like that the people get fired and or resigned or whatever at the end of a day on a Friday. It's like,
yeah.
And then the game leaks, just like, was Far Cry leaked on purpose to cover up this news? That sounds like a conspiracy theory. But when you're putting out messaging like this, all of a sudden I'm like, well, I don't necessarily believe against it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like this is with everything that we just brought up, right? Like, it's such a bittersweet thing, because with the folks they announced leaving, that had me actually more excited for this Ubisoft Forward, because over the last month there's kind of been this this bad taste in my mouth from, you know, seeing people called out from Ubisoft, seeing these different allegations surface, seeing like, you know, actual proof of these allegations surface, and seeing like a lot of disgusting stuff, you know, rise to the surface from Ubisoft, and, you know, seeing people responsible get essentially kicked out the weekend before Ubisoft Forward had me like, oh, let's go. That's awesome. Like that, that pretty much gives a whole new meaning to Ubisoft Forward. Now it feels like it's Ubisoft forward looking. Right now it feels like Ubisoft can be a new thing, especially with, and I mentioned this during our live reaction that we did, which people can check out on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames for the Ubisoft Forward. But toward the beginning, you know, Greg broke down a lot of the stuff too, because I feel like that stuff's kind of necessary, you know, for the context of where we're at with Ubisoft and where we're at with these game announcements and all that stuff. But like Serge leaving, that's a huge thing, because Serge, as I understand it, head of the editorial team, the team that is responsible for dictating the direction, the creative direction of Ubisoft games, like that is the dude that is responsible for how we feel in terms of Ubisoft games kind of molding together and all being the same type of game. Like Serge would be able to greenlight games based on like pretty much his own taste, right? And like at a snap of a finger, a project can be done. And like that's the kind of power he held, and he was leading that team. And for him to be gone, I think, presents this exciting new horizon for what Ubisoft can become and the type of games they can make. And so, like, that and also, like, some of the other people we see stepping down, all that stuff, super exciting, had me super hyped for Ubisoft Forward. But at the same time, you then look at the statement, and it's like, y'all can't bullshit us.
Yeah.
Like, we're, like, we have, like, the internet is smarter than you will give it credit for when it comes to these things.
this message was not in the video for one simple reason, and it's that they know that not everyone is on the internet, not everyone knows all this stuff, and the people that are going to be excited about the video game announcements they made don't need to necessarily know about this because it makes it easier for them. But my argument there is like, well, now it's going to get harder because now people are mad and people are going to point it out. It's going to turn into an even bigger shit show. I think you're totally right, Bless. I think that this is definitely the people that are out now is going to open up a lot of new opportunities and new potential for great, diverse new ideas. And hopefully that comes to fruition in the next couple of years. And we start to see Ubisoft take another step of maturity. Like, I don't want to sit here and hate on Ubisoft's games because I know it's pretty easy to look at them and be like, oh, they're all the same in a Ubisoft game or whatever. It's like, having said that, the last couple of years of Ubisoft games have been really good. And people have really liked them, and there's something there that works. So it's not just like, oh man, these are all just cash grabs. It's like there's very high quality games behind that, right? And I think that taking the learnings of those and then now adding a new fresh point of view on that and taking that to the next step is going to be super great. Like, that's where video games kind of need to be. And I'm upset seeing all these different groups handle all this very difficult stuff. Like, I'm not saying this is easy. It's not easy.
Yeah. Like, there's so much that goes into. I'm sure part of it too is is like legal stuff, you know, that probably comes into play. Like, if they were to make a statement during the video, it might have to be a very vague statement.
And people are gonna poke that apart too. But fuck that. Who gives a shit? This is what I keep saying during all of our more serious topics on our different shows, where it's just like, yeah, every time that you try to say something, you try to make a stand, people are gonna call you out for not standing correctly. They're gonna say, like, oh, if you were really woke, if you were really this, then you would do this, this, this. Why aren't you doing that? Cool, let that criticism come. You know, Ubisoft, in my opinion, have been really trying to have a very diverse workplace. They want to put out diverse games and all this stuff. That doesn't mean it's always going to hit the mark. It's going to miss the mark a lot. We're seeing it with the Far Cry 6 stuff of all people talking about the how different cultures are being represented. And it's just like, in my opinion, and again, I'm a fucking white guy, so I get that my opinion doesn't mean as much when it comes to this topic. But in my opinion, I am happy that both those things are being attempted and that there's criticism of it. I love seeing the Twitter react to all of this and just be like, hey, well, that's not good. That's not good. That's not good. Because that's how the next time gets better. You know,
yeah.
It's like, and you can't look at that and just be like, well, we fucking tried. You need to look and be like, cool, we need to try harder next time. And you just need to keep doing that. And that's why with this message, cool, legally, you might not be able to say X, Y, and Z. Then say A, B, and C. Start somewhere. Start somewhere so simple that it's just like, some bad things have been going on and we don't stand for that. We're going to change. We're going to do stuff. Actions have already started to push us forward to where we're trying to be.
To add to that a little bit. Well, actually, no, go for it.
Just real quick. I want to read a tweet from Yusuf Magid, our very good friend who hosted and killed the Ubisoft Forward yesterday. Right before it went live, he tweeted, not even right before it went live, in between the fucking message coming out and it going live, he tweeted out, there are thousands of good, hardworking, passionate developers who are getting to showcase their work to the world for the first time. They deserve to be proud of their work and celebrate today. That's what UB Forward's about. I love this. And it sucks that so many people are affected by a bunch of fucking assholes that have made stupid decisions and have been protected for so many years to make those decisions and enabled to continue that cycle, that it is affecting all these people that on a day that these guys have worked so hard for, that they're all going to get like torn into this and judged and all of that. But again, this goes back to me where I'm just like, cool, take that understanding and understand it's not about you guys. And they know that. They know. Mm-hmm. Get what I'm saying? And I just think that's a very important thing that we all need to look at this, and it's not just good and evil. It's beyond good and evil. Sorry.
That was really good. No, I loved it. That was actually excellent. It took me a second because it was so smooth. But yeah, like to the point of the statement, like I was going to say that I think, and talking about the vaguity of it, or how vague it would probably have to be if they actually did make the statement during the show, I think there is power in seeing that company come out and say at the beginning of their show, like even if it is just like a fucking flat splash screen or whatever, however you do it, just say that, hey, you know, we condemn toxic workplace. We condemn X, Y, and Z, the stuff that you've been seeing happening at Ubisoft. We condemn that, right? And that is a very vague thing. That is very like, hey, we're not getting too specific about it. But even with that, I think the idea gets the idea gets across, and that is still them taking a stand against like the shit that's been going on over there. But yeah, like to Yousef's tweet and like to what this whole weekend has been, I think there, in terms of the duality of it, the devs that are working super hard, the people at Ubisoft that we know are awesome, the people that we know are out there busting their ass, like get these games made and create awesome art. It fucking sucks that a few people can come through and taint that for everybody. And so like, that's the thing that I always kind of always try to have in mind when it comes to companies fucking up or higher ups fucking up or things being presented in not the greatest light when it comes to big teams and big studios, that there are so many people on the creative side. There's so many people that are artists, who are coders, who are writers, who are in the nitty gritty of making these games that aren't involved with the shit. And so like, that's kind of, that's a thing I'd like to just throw out there in the conversation and let people kind of sit with. Tim, that was part A to the story number one. Part B actually comes in the form of the biggest headlines from Ubisoft Forward. And so I'm pulling mainly from Joe Screbbles at IGN, who had a great write-up. And I'm gonna throw out you guys the biggest headlines from the show. So Far Cry 6 was finally officially revealed. After several leaks earlier this week, Ubisoft officially announced Far Cry 6 for a February 2021 release. The reveal showcased Breaking Bad and the Mandalorian actor Giancarlo Esposito in a new role. We also got the Hyperscape open beta, which is out now, currently playable on PC. And then the write-up here says the open beta will be broadly familiar to those who played the previous technical tests, but as a new weapon, a new hack ability, and includes a free 30-tier battle pass. Also, Watch Dogs Legion and Assassin's Creed are both coming this fall. Announced earlier this year, Assassin's Creed Valhalla has been confirmed for a November 17th release date on Xbox One, PS4, PC, and Stadia. Ubisoft reconfirmed that the upcoming adventure is also set for Xbox Series X and PS5, but did not offer a release date for it on those systems. Ubisoft also announced that Watch Dogs Legion will be released on October 29th, 2020. Alongside the release date, Ubisoft showcased more of Legion's ambitious gameplay, which allows players to essentially recruit any NPC and make them a playable character. Ubisoft also announced that there is another Ubisoft Forward coming later this year. And then to come full circle where we started this episode at and where I wanted to get to, Ubisoft's big games are upgradable for next gen. This is from Ubisoft's website, where, and I think this is like literally like support.ubisoft.com, where they write, we have compiled some key information about how you can upgrade a digital or physical version of Watch Dogs Legion, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and Far Cry 6 from PS4 to be playable on PS5. When upgrading eligible games from PS4 to PS5, PlayStation 4 copies of the game, digital or physical, will provide access to the corresponding PlayStation 5 version at no additional cost to you. And I know they get into a little bit more detail on the actual site, which I'm pulling up here. But Tim, you're about to go down a whole rabbit hole talking about this. Do you want to continue, or do you remember where you wanted to continue from?
Yeah, pretty much
in the conversation.
The thing of note that I wanted to talk about here, because you know, as we've been going through all of this with all the smart delivery talk and all of the PlayStation side of it, now like looking at the third parties and the kind of how they're all handling it similarly but differently, this is kind of the most concrete answer we've got about the PlayStation process that I've seen, at least. And looking at this, the important thing to note is if upgrading your game using a physical game disc, the disc must be kept inserted in the PlayStation 5 disc tray to play. Upgrading a physical version of the game from PS4 to 5 will not be possible if you have the digital version of the next generation console.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
So this is why we're going back to the original conversation we're having with Kevin about digital version, what that means for the future. Are we ready for that? Are we prepared for that? And, like, I got to say, this is a bummer to me. Like, this is something going into next gen. The most exciting thing for me is not the graphics. Ray tracing is pretty dope, but it's not the graphics. It's not the kind of like the promise of bigger, expanded, all this stuff, load times and all this stuff that normally would get me excited from gen to gen. What I'm most excited about is the ecosystems and the convenience of all the things that have been just annoying for the last couple generations, finally getting ironed out to the point that they're just like, video games just work the way that you want them to work. There's always a thing you get caught up where you're just like, why this should work this way? Why doesn't it? Things like cross save, cross progression, cross play, all this stuff. It's like, why can't I? And now next gen's promise to me is you can. It's not going to be a pain in the ass. And I just still don't understand. If you buy it, whether it's digital or physical, if you buy it physical, I guess, let's start there. there should be some unlock code that just gives you the game digitally. Like, why not? And I'm saying even this generation. Like, why is that not the case? It's weird. Like, I think about it on the Nintendo side, where I'm like, cool, I buy a bunch of games digitally and I have them on my Switch. I have a Smash Brothers, my copy of Smash Ultimate, because I wanted it physical. I bought it physically. Mm-hmm. So now I always need the cart. Even though I bought it, and even though I can just download all the digital games, I can, if I buy a game digitally, I can archive it and delete it and then re-download it whenever the fuck I want. So it's not like there's just like a limited amount of downloads or whatever. Like, it's there, right? Why can't I download Smash Brothers that I bought, that I clearly own?
I mean, this is kind of what... So this is actually kind of the Xbox One dilemma, right? Where toward the launch of the Xbox One, discs were essentially going to work as keys, where you wouldn't be able to share your games with friends because that disc would have been tied to your console in some sort of way. And I think for the way that you want things to be done, we would have to be living in that alternate future where Xbox One was super successful and people didn't have a problem with it. I think it's a fascinating case, because I wonder what, at this point in 2020, if we were to do a poll, how that would net out as far as like people being, because for things to work the way you want them to work, I think it would have to be a key sort of situation, because like if a physical version of a game then essentially unlocked the digital, like a digital download or a digital edition of that game, then you wouldn't be able to share your disc around, because then like people would just have unlimited versions of that game essentially, right?
Yeah, exactly. But so check this out. Fire Native in the chat says, Tim, it makes no sense. When you pop the disc in, it still has to download the PS5 version to play. So that's why with a digital version, it can't unlock the PS5 digital version. But my thing is, if you bought it on PS4 physically, that means you have a PS4 physically with a disc drive. So then why can't I just then put it into the PS4, turn it into a digital copy, and transfer my digital copy to the PS5?
I mean, I think what you're saying makes sense, but it would require that alternate future.
Totally. It's just I'm just saying it's so stupid that that's not a thing. Because like, but what the fuck?
I'm also curious on like if people would want that though. Because if the thing that you had to sacrifice to be able to do what you're saying is you wouldn't be able to share discs, or you wouldn't be able to essentially like use your disc on a friend's console without then like locking your console out of playing that game. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if that's a thing people would be willing to give up, because that's the thing that we kind of fought for at the beginning of this generation.
I'm missing how this is different though about just the PS5 version though, the physical PS5 disc. Huh? You know what? I just answered my own question. The PS5 disc, if you own it physically, it needs to just be in the system.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair. Fair.
But I think this is an interesting conversation. I'd be curious to see like what the poll would be in 2020 as opposed to 2013.
Yeah. I just think like I get it now, that does make a bit more sense to me, but I still feel like with how powerful PSN accounts are, like with what they allow me when I get a code and I can just put it in and all of a sudden I own the game. I don't even fucking download it. I just own it and it's there, right? At that point, who cares about the physical version? It's just there. But I guess if I then... Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if it has to do at all with the way they count online purchase or like digital only purchases, where it's like that would fuck up the we sold this many units as digital only.
Wait, what?
So when you activate a game, you get a code, right? You put it in, it counts as a sale. Right? So or you just buy it digitally. I wonder if it's too difficult to also get a physical copy and then tell it that digital key that came with it wasn't a purchase. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, so, I mean, if you just have to set up the system that way, right? Because that's kind of how Xbox does it, because...
Yeah, but
if,
we know so, that Sony is really bad at setting up their systems. Think about how long
for sure
to set up the PSN name changes.
Yeah. But I feel like if they wanted to figure that out, they could, because for example, I got BioShock a while ago for 360, and I just put it in my Xbox One, and it just downloads the digital version. Like, it's not playing natively off my disc. I'm basically just playing. It's kind of working how they're describing it on
that.
PS5.
No, that's exactly it. That's what it should be. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but like the game,
I'm all the way back around.
You're all the way back full circle. All right. Tim, Ubisoft Forward, though, like, I know we talked about it in our post-show analysis, which people can check out on the Gamescast podcast feed, or on YouTube.com, so it's kind of funny games, the Ubisoft Forward post-show analysis. But since yesterday, have your thoughts evolved on it at all? Do you feel any sort of way?
No. I mean, if anything, I do think that it was a very good presentation, and I think that that's something that gets lost because we're all a bunch of entitled gamers, obviously, ourselves included, where it's like we want hype, we want the most possible from these things, and it's just like there's a reality of what these press conferences, directs, presentations, forward showcases, whatever the hell you want to call them, can be at this time. And I think that when we compare not just our memories of things, when you actually go back and look at even 3, 4, 5 years ago these press conferences compared to now, it's like we are so spoiled with the amount of stuff that we get with this, the amount of actual information or gameplay or how tight the presentation is, how little of our time is wasted. Like, what wasted our time yesterday? It was the mobile game stuff. That only lasted a total of like 4 minutes, you know? Compare that to a couple years ago, even just Ubisoft, it would have been 35 minutes of nonsense, you know? So to me, I think the fact that we got 3 major game showcases with release dates, even if we knew about them, and Far Cry 6 was going to be a surprise, it got leaked. Leaks happen. Mm-hmm. Things like that happen. I'm most excited that Ubisoft Forward is going to be a new platform going forward. And I keep saying this, but I think that the summer game mess had to happen in order for next year to kind of work out the gate better than we've had. I imagine E3 can die so that everyone will function like Nintendo Direct, where there's not the one big thing every year. It's there's tentpole moments here and there throughout, and ideally on a schedule that makes more sense than just having to look at Jeff Grubb's Twitter to see what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, I'm still in a place where I am somewhat underwhelmed by it. From the standpoint of announcements, I'm underwhelmed, but the standpoint of how they put it together as a presentation, I thought they did a great job. Like, to what you're saying, there wasn't that much wasted time. They got to the point pretty well. And also, like, the editing of it and, you know, the hosting of it, like, shout out to Yusef who killed it. All that stuff, they made work super well, especially with this work from home situation. Like, it wasn't even noticeable that we're in, you know, this quarantine time, with the exception of Phil Spencer, who for some reason doesn't own a camera at this point, despite being on 10 different of these presentations, is still using the same webcam and still using the same computer mic. But aside from that, like, I think presentation wise they did a good job. I would have liked to have gotten more new games, but with the idea that we have another Ubisoft Forward to look forward to, no pun intended, that softens the blow, and I'm pretty okay with what we got yesterday.
My phone just blew up with the biggest notification I've ever seen, like, take up my lock screen. I usually only have text messages pop up or my Nest Cam stuff. It's a Postmates notification that just says Popeye's chicken sandwich. And then in all bold giant letters, you have the power to give someone a free one.
Tim,
what the fuck is happening?
All jokes aside, can I get that free sandwich?
Let's talk after the show.
I've yet to have eaten a Popeye's chicken sandwich, and I'm very bummed out about it because I know it set the world on fire last year, and like I really wanted to taste it, and I just couldn't. I couldn't get around to it.
I never got one either.
If you can give me that hookup, we could share somehow, man. Oh boy. Speaking of notifications and Postmates, actually, this is barely speaking of that, but this somehow reminded me of this, Kevin. Did we figure out what's up with the dry erase markers that got delivered to me that
you
I did not order?
I thought you had gotten the incorrect package because that's something recently that Amazon's been doing for me, where like I order this Bluetooth headphone adapter and instead I got a light bulb. So I was like, oh, it must have been that. But then you said, no, you got it.
I got my package.
I didn't order you anything else. So did you hit up your sister? I feel like she might have sent you some dry erase markers.
Well, like, why would she send me dry erase markers?
Why would she send you a random box full of like stuff, like shirts and whatnot?
Yeah, but that was like for my birthday. I don't care about dry erase markers because, like, for my birthday, she sent me like the PlayStation. Oh, it's not lit up right now. The PlayStation color light thing. Yeah, and then she also sent me a shirt that says. She also sent me the Last of Us Part 2 art book.
Hit her up though. Maybe she's like, I'm waiting for the damn dry erase markers that said they already arrived, sent to the wrong address.
Oh, you know what? That could be it. Thank you, Kevin.
No worries.
To wrap up this Ubisoft business, this is like the last small headline from Ubisoft. Well, actually, we kind of have some Ubisoft business coming up soon. But to wrap up story number one, Ubisoft is no longer doing 3-day early access on its games. This comes from, I guess, like a Ubi write-up. And what I assume is like the pre-order to Watch Dogs or something. They write, since the announcement of Watch Dogs Legion last year, we've worked to refine the content of the game's premium editions with additions and adjustments to improve the player experience. The season pass has been enhanced to offer players additional story-based content while delivering the premium characters and cosmetics from the original pass. Additionally, all editions of Watch Dogs Legion will be released simultaneously on October 29th, 2020. As a result, the 3-day early access has been removed from the Gold, Ultimate, and Collector's Edition of Watch Dogs Legion. And so there's a Watch Dogs update for you. Speaking of Ubisoft, story number two, former Ubisoft developers form a new studio, Beans. This is Rebecca Valentine at GamesIndustry.biz. During publisher Devolver Digital's direct presentation today, and this is a Saturday, as of the time this is written, former Ubisoft developers Gabriella Salvatore and Dean Evans announced a new studio, Beans. The team is currently hiring for positions in Toronto to work on an unannounced project to be published by Devolver Digital, with plans to pick up around 7 employees by the end of the year. Salvatore left Ubisoft in 2016 after 4 years, during which time she worked in numerous roles, including game designer on Far Cry 5 and Primal, motion capture production on For Honor, and a story consultant on Starlink Battle for Atlas. She then spent 3 years at Creative Assembly as a game designer on the Total War franchise. Evans departed Ubisoft in 2018 after 12 years at the publisher, during which time he worked on numerous projects, including Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, for which he was creative director. Quote, a lot of people have been complaining about the AAA business and the lack of risk-taking. That I'd be a total fucking hypocrite if I moved forward and didn't take any risks, he said at the time. So fuck it. I think I might go out and set up my own studio and see where that goes. End quote. Exciting stuff. I think the cool thing here is that Devolver is announcing studios. I think that's really exciting because Devolver, I think, is a publisher. They do really good work. And usually what comes out of there is really exciting. So the idea that they're able to kind of debut a new studio is really exciting.
Absolutely. I like Devolver's voice is great. And, getting this quote here feels very Devolver. So... Yeah. I like the Devolver might get a little bit bigger. You know, like that's it's an exciting idea to me. And this obviously is a team of talented people. I love the name Beans. Quality name. So
very quality name. Reminds me of Even Stevens. And so
exactly. Yeah.
Shout out to that. Did you catch the Devolver Digital showcase?
I skimmed through the Devolver Digital showcases. I get it. I respect it. There's something about it that's just a little too real to me that I'm like, it's too close to home. I don't know.
I feel that. I've gotten to the point where I think I'm tired out on them. Because when they first started doing these like cool, quirky, like we're going to make these bloody E3 presentations that are parodies of like everything that's going on in the industry. I think at first it felt really fresh and really cool and really dynamic. But I feel like they've gotten to the point where they feel somewhat samey. Like the gimmick on Saturday was they had the host lady. She was very like Harley Quinn in her presentation. And she was kind of doubling down on the Harley Quinn aspects of that. But like basically Nina Struthers, who's like, I guess at this point, a cyborg or a robot or like was dead and came back to life. I don't know. Statement. Yeah. But like they brought her back to life or whatever. And not, it's a whole thing. But basically.
And I appreciate it. I love it. It's just here's the thing. It reminds me a lot of Adult Swim back when Adult Swim used to creep me out. When I was a little kid, I'm like, I don't know that I'm supposed to be watching this because it's a little too weird for me. And I've never really been an Adult Swim guy, like through and through. And it just reminds me of that type of thing, which, hey, it is for a lot of people. And I actually really respect it. It's just not for me.
Yeah. I just want them to, like, freshen it up a little bit. Because with Adult Swim, like, we got stuff like Too Many Cooks. And, like, if Devolver Digital had their own Too Many Cooks, I feel like that would bring this back. Like, I just need something to make it less, like, we're here and we're edgy and we're bloody and we're a parody. I feel like they've done that for what, 4 years straight now. And so that's my thing. And also, like, it's gotten to the point where I don't know what's real announcements and what's fake announcements. Mm-hmm. Like when they announced the new studio Beans, they announced that alongside a bunch of fake stuff. And so after I finished the presentation, I was like, okay, certainly the Beans studio, that's not real, right? And then I saw Rebecca Valentine's tweet of like, oh yeah, no, it's real. And like I wrote an article on it, and I was like, oh, all right, cool. And so I feel like they got some tightening up to do. That said, I'm all the stuff they announced, really exciting. Like they announced a date for Carrion, they announced a date for Fall Guys.
Which looks awesome.
I'm so excited. And it's coming out very soon, which I'm really excited about. Our last news story for the day, story number three, get ready for a Lego Nintendo Entertainment System. This is Jordan Allman at IGN. And Kevin, I have some links if you want to show these off as I'm reading. A Lego replica of the NES appears to have leaked online, leading Lego to tease an official launch for the set on social media. VJ Gamer posted an article earlier today revealing the new set, showing off the box, manual, and individual pieces. The set consists of a CRT TV playing World 1-1 from Super Mario Bros. On the NES, a Nintendo Entertainment System replica console and controller, and the Super Mario Bros. Cartridge. The full set contains 2,646 pieces, making it quite a substantial build. LEGO website PromoBricks is reporting that the set will have a €230 price tag and launch on August 1st, alongside the previously revealed LEGO Super Mario sets. In response to the leak, the official LEGO Twitter account all but confirmed the set with a short GIF and the tagline, quote, "Are you ready to play like never before?"
I am.
Tim, are you a LEGO person? Does this tickle your fancy?
I definitely am a LEGO person. I mean, I am a LEGO person in the sense that LEGO is the greatest thing to ever exist. And I've had to not allow myself as an adult to buy them because I would just get addicted and have way too many. That would be a problem. And I feel like that's a problem that Kevin shares. Kevin and I grew up loving Lego.
It's really hard.
And
it's really hard.
This is the type of product, Kev, that like I don't know that I can resist.
Are you guys willing to pay €230?
That's like $280, right? That's not a little
like
bit
that,
of money.
Yeah.
That's not a little bit of money.
Legos are never a little bit of money.
This could count as a work expense, right? Like it's game.
We can't do that. It's slippery.
We can do an unboxing and a whole. We can do a kind of funny first impressions.
Bless.
You're
what
right.
What I want you to know is I've always wanted. Oh, look how small I am. I'm so small in this window. Hold on, guys. I have always wanted to build a relationship with Lego. To the point where
build
I tried
a relationship.
There you go. But where I tried to have Greg Miller, was it Greg? I think it was Greg at IGN.
Okay, like, infamously, Kev. Here's where the story goes. All right, we're telling it right now here on this beautiful kind
hear.
Of funny games daily. There was a moment in time, a beautiful small moment in time, where Kevin and I worked together at IGN.
Eight magical months.
Yes, exactly. And that was during the time where kind of funny, the group was on its way out from IGN, but we were still there, still doing stuff. And there was a while where we were doing a video series just called Conversations. And it was just like every day we had to post some 5-minute video of us having a conversation about something. And a lot of time it'd be video game shit that made sense. But there were some days that we just didn't have much to do. So Greg and I had a series where we would just do unboxings of Lego sets that were sent to us. And it was cool, exciting stuff. It'd be like the Guardian ship or like, you know, just like random fun stuff,
cool
like
stuff.
Star Wars shit. But the thing was, we didn't have time and didn't want to have to build it all. So Kevin volunteered.
Of course.
To just build.
Of
so
course.
He'd sit at his desk all day, doing his work.
Not all day.
Building Legos. And we would literally then just take credit as if we built them. So then we were doing these like unboxings. We were like, well, let's see it finished. And it would cut. It would just be done.
Boom.
But the
Mos Eisley.
For anybody that watches, that goes and finds these videos, there was like a narrative through the entire thing. It was such kind of funny content before kind of funny was kind of funny. But like there's a narrative through it of me and Greg slowly losing our minds and slowly introducing Kevin as the person that was building these things. But infamously, and a lot of people have heard this story before, there was the one episode that still hasn't ever been seen by the world that I have on a computer somewhere where... it was Mos Eisley from Tatooine from Star Wars, and there was one of the Dewbacks, and Greg Miller started laughing maniacally and using his Watto impression, which was born here. The whole Watto thing was born from this. He goes, "Annie, your mom turned me into a horse."
Oh, my God.
So that whole thing that he said on so many shows that was born from Legos. So, Kevin, You had a valiant effort to try to get Lego to give a shit about us. And I'm not sure that we treated them with care, but we did our best at doing something.
Whatever happened to that Lego podcast set?
It didn't.
Weren't we trying to make that happen?
Well, actually, they extended it. Like, it got enough votes to like extend for like 2 years, so it might still be a thing. If who did that? Was that Kebabs?
Kebabs, yeah.
Yeah, I like saying it wrong. It's on purpose. Nick's allowed to say every word wrong. I can't call Kebabs Kebabs. No, but oh yeah, kind of funny. The nanobiologist just put it there. Hold on.
Oh yeah, are you bringing it up?
Yeah.
Do you need a second? Should I segue?
No, we're there. Lego. We're there. We got there.
Damn.
It's cool.
Except cookies.
So
it looks like it's not running anymore. I don't think
it's not running anymore.
Yeah. But one of my favorite things to come from those Lego builds was the fact that like me and Fran got into the most fights because of that ever. Because he had a problem with how I built the Legos and the fact that I didn't like separating.
Not that Kevin was building Legos during work. That's not what Fred had a problem with. Fred had a problem with Kevin's process of building.
He would get upset that I didn't pre-separate all the Legos. And I told him that my mind worked better this way and that I was down to race him at building Legos his way versus my way whenever he wanted. He did not accept the offer.
Oh, I love you guys. Oh my God.
What a life we live.
Tim, I'm really excited to see if we eventually get this Lego set to Kinda Funny. Mm-hmm. But that is probably so, so far away. If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where'd I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. We got
for a second. I panicked because I had a different tab up right now. I had the chat tab up here instead of the doc, so I didn't have the words in front of me. I don't think I'm gonna be able to do it.
I was gonna say, how do you not have it memorized yet?
I did. It's a weird thing. You get in your own head, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I could hold on. Let me see if I can do it. I have the tab closed.
If I wanted to know what was coming to Mom and Grop shops today, bless, where would I look?
You go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. Boom.
Fucking go.
Boom.
Hey.
Boom, cuz. You see that? You see that? A skill. A memorization. Yeah. Out today, we got Samurai Aces 3, Sengoku Canon for PC, One Dog Story for PC, Color Flux for PC and Mac, The Falling Tower for PC, World War II, or let me just say WWII, because maybe that's not World War II. WWII, Partisanin for PC, and then Sheep Island for PC. And let me tell you, I now have a PC. And so, because Kevin came through, set me up, upgraded me, and so I have like this thing that's glowing blue right beside me, and it's great, it's big, it's a PC. Mm-hmm. And seeing all these different PC games, I'm now, my interest is now peaked, because now I'm paying attention. Now I'm like, okay, what are the PC games that are available to me that I can play that I wasn't able to play before? And I'm looking at One Dog Story.
Bless, I'm considering playing Cyberpunk on my PC.
Oh, really?
Pretty exciting times, man. Pretty exciting times. Because a lot of people have been calling me, Tim loves tech. Tim loves all this stuff. Like why doesn't he play on PC? It's like, that's a damn good question.
Mouse and keyboard?
I don't know. What's up?
You can go mouse and keyboard.
I mean, it depends. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like
for
all
Cyberpunk,
all
I don't think it really matters.
I think Cyberpunk is a game for you to play on PC for
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hype about that. New dates for you. EA UFC 4 is coming to PS4 and Xbox One on August 14th, 2020. Microsoft Flight Simulator is launching on PC with Xbox Game Pass on August 18th. Far Cry 6 is coming February 18th, 2021 to Xbox Series X, Xbox One, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Stadia, and PC. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is coming November 17th to Xbox One, PS4, PC, and Stadia. PS5 and Xbox Series X dates are still pending. Watch Dogs Legion is coming October 29th, 2020 to Xbox One, PS4, PC, and Stadia. Shadow Warrior 3 has been announced for 2021. Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout is coming to PS4 and Steam on August 4th. Carrion heads to Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC on July 23rd. And I believe Carrion is Xbox Game Pass as well. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if I'm wrong about that. Alija is coming out this fall to Switch and PC, and I believe there's a demo out now on Switch. Serious Sam 4 is coming to Steam and Stadia in August, with PS4 and Xbox One releases scheduled for 2021. iOS and Android versions of Brawlhalla are set to release on August 6th. Yakuza Kiwami 2 launches on Xbox One, Windows 10, and on Xbox Game Pass on July 30th. And then Amazon has delayed its planned MMORPG New World into spring of 2021, following feedback from players participating in the game's alpha. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Tim, yeah. As one of the leaders here at Kind of Funny, as one of the founders, why should people be interested in youtube.com/kindoffunnygames?
Because there's so much consistent content there, and then there's also a lot of surprises. Here's the thing. You guys probably know every day we got Kind of Funny Games Daily, Monday through Friday, going up there. Every week, we got Kind of Funny Games Cast going up. We have PS I Love You, XOXO going up. But then also, every once in a while, there's just some fun that is a first impressions coming out for a new game. People getting hands-on for the first time with a video game. Wow, you're going to want their impressions. That will be there, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Guess what? If you don't even know what you're looking for, but you're like, I wonder if Andy Cortez might have played through the entirety of Last of Us Part 2, would that be on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames? You shouldn't expect it, but when you go there, it's going to be a nice surprise. Now, if you wanted for some reason to watch Nick Scarpino play Last of Us Part 1 for the very first time, I wouldn't recommend it, but it's also there. Another thrilling surprise for you. And every once in a while, other things come up. Will something very, very fun and very, very surprising come up this Saturday? Is this a reveal right now? Oh, shit, Bless. It is. Something is going up this Saturday.
I don't even know what this is.
.com/kindoffunnygames that is going to blow all your simple fucking minds.
Tell him, Tim, but not that much, you know? Just hype him up. 6 a.m.
But also I want to echo, First Impressions is awesome. We've been getting a lot of compliments on First Impressions, and I agree. First Impressions is super cool. We had my Cyberpunk one. We had our Hyperscape one. Of course, the Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs First Impressions are up. And that show is a gift that keeps on giving. So if you haven't checked out First Impressions, highly, 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 highly recommend checking out Kind of Funny First Impressions. And that has its own podcast feed.
That made me a little lightheaded.
I mean, you went hard, and I really appreciate it. I appreciate the commitment.
And real talk, it is a pretty cool thing. Like, it's not like life changing, whatever. But it's, you guys are gonna, you're gonna like it.
Tim, D Block writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, "Hey, KFGD crew, why do you think some companies get slammed for focusing on a rotation of a few IPs instead of constantly introducing new ones? I see this happening with Microsoft for being the Gears, Forza, Halo company, and now I'm seeing this with Ubi for being Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, Far Cry. Do you think a company needs to introduce new IP every few years to stay relevant, or is it possible to have a focused lineup without upsetting people? Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Thanks."
I mean, when you... This goes back to what I was saying about the expectations and just kind of like an understanding of things. Like the fact that we got a Ubisoft show yesterday that did have their big three franchises all shown with release dates. And we're kind of just like, it's like, damn, video games are in a great place. That is disappointing. Again, not the most surprising or exciting thing, but it's like, we're at least at a point that with those games, we're expecting them all to be good. If one of those games wasn't good, we would be like, wow, that's surprising. Right. Whereas, like, when you look over at the Xbox side, I think it's a little bit different because they're first party. And I think that there's a bit more expectation on them to have a super impressive library across a bunch of titles, which, again, goes back to why I think Ubisoft is so impressive, is that it has a crazy library to pull from. It has those big dogs, but those aren't the only big dogs. There's also the Ghost Recon titles, which even within Ghost Recon, we have Rainbow Six, we have, Tom Clancy, Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six.
And yeah.
Within Rainbow Six, like, we have everything has its own like splinters.
Yeah, like there's Rainbow Six Siege, dude, Rainbow Six Vegas. Today. There's a Tom Clancy like Division.
Quarantine,
like there's
Division.
Like there's so many, you know, sub games and then sub games within sub games. Yeah. Know?
And then on top of that, we got things like the Rayman games. We have Prince of Persia. We have like more legacy title, Beyond Good and Evil. Like those things where it's like they have such a ridiculous library that is comparable to a successful first party lineup across like a bunch of different games. And sure, they're Ubi games. We can say the same thing about Sony. Oh, it's a PlayStation first party title. it's a PlayStation game. We know what that means. But if it means a good thing, that's not bad, right? But with that, I do think it's important to have new IP and to focus on it. And that's something that I think that Ubisoft's actually... Damn, there's a giant spider over there.
It is God. Fine. You want to go kill it?
Oh, my God. It was the one from last time.
Yeah, give me a second.
All right. But yeah, like I think a big part of this too is the difference between Far Cry or the difference between Ubisoft and Microsoft.
Oh fuck, Tim! Whoa, run.
No.
Tim, run!
Fell. Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!
This is a smart one. Man. He tried to kill it like 3 weeks ago.
He just keeps returning. He just like lives.
I got it.
Oh, thank God!
Wow, that was riveting.
Do you think it was? Do you think it was the
Dude,
same one from last time?
My heart was pumping.
I do think it was the same one from last time, Kev, and it straight up jumped off the wall.
Oh my God. Oh, he's learning. That. Well,
I
he was.
Got him, so much. I got him. I got
he
him.
Was
Don't
learning.
Worry.
He's done learning. His learning days are over. But I was saying, like, I think Ubisoft and Xbox are kind of two very different examples because Microsoft, their lineup has to be a first party lineup. And so when we boil down Microsoft to the Gears, Forza, Halo company, like, those are all great franchises. You know, like, I know the last Halo didn't knock people away who are big Halo fans, but for the most part, those games are quality. You know, I love Forza Horizon. Mm-hmm. It's like my favorite racing game. Those are my favorite racing games of this generation, I'd say. But when you have a first party lineup that is kind of boiled down to those three games across a whole generation, then I think there is some trouble there. I think you kind of need to diversify, and I think that's why we're seeing Microsoft buy up a bunch of studios and announced games that aren't just that. Like, I'm really excited, looking forward to Hellblade and Everwild out of Rare, and, you know, a lot of stuff that they have coming up with Double Fine and all the studios they've acquired. Mm-hmm. Ubisoft, on the other hand, I think, yeah, like, we kind of talked about this a bit on our post-show analysis, because we were kind of talking about how, like, yeah, we kind of get the same stuff from Ubisoft, and I think Greg put out a good analogy, which... Like, Assassin's Creed, even though Assassin's Creed is Assassin's Creed, we do get different types of Assassin's Creed. But, like, specifically, like, an evolution of Assassin's Creed, when you look at Origins compared to what Syndicate was, like, there's a jump there. And, like, you also get Assassin's Creed in new settings and all this different stuff. Like, they're finding ways to refresh and evolve Assassin's Creed in cool, dynamic ways, according to Greg. Mm-hmm. It's analogous to Nintendo. Like, I see... Every now and then I'll see comments about Nintendo and how Nintendo's putting out the same game over and over and over again, but they're not. Like, Breath of the Wild is a completely different game from Skyward Sword. Mario Odyssey is real different from Galaxy. And, like, even within those franchises, you then have Mario Kart, Mario Tennis, like, different types of games within that. You have different types of, you have Hyrule Warriors and, like, different types of Zelda games. You have, you know, Pikmin and Splatoon and ARMS. And, like, you see Nintendo creating new IP, they don't always hit, but they're there. I think there is a balance that you have to have as a big publisher in what your overall goal is and how you deliver and message it. And so, like, Ubisoft, I think for the most part, they're doing a good job with that, because we do get new IP from them. But I think the big complaint is Ubisoft games more so than, I would even say, Xbox games or, like, the other first party companies. Ubisoft games kind of get stale. Like, Watch Dogs and Far Cry in particular, I'd say, for me, haven't necessarily felt like a step up with each iteration, especially Far Cry. Like, Far Cry 4 kind of just feels like Far Cry 3, which kind of just feels like Far Cry 5, which kind of just feels like Far Cry New Dawn. Like, these games kind of mold together at a certain point for me. And so for me, that's kind of where that breaks down. That said, like, I think the company that has it the worst is EA, because EA doesn't really announce new IPs as much. And, like, you know, people hate on EA like crazy because of it, because it is the same thing year after year after year after year. But I think at the same time, that's also a valid strategy to have as a company if what you're doing is trying to make money, which all companies are. And so,
yeah, it's interesting stuff.
It's interesting stuff. Tim, now it's time to squad up. The Nanobiologist writes in with a squad up on Xbox One and says, "So, I'm on a mission to 100% every single Assassin's Creed game before Valhalla comes out. However, I hit a snag with Black Flag. There's multiplayer achievements in it. I need three best friends to sign up for my crew and play a good bit of multiplayer matches with me sometime to get those pesky multiplayer achievements. Feel free to DM me on Xbox or Twitter if you want to play a couple matches. Thanks, the Nanobiologist." You can add the nanobiologist on Xbox at the nanobiologist. All one word, spelt how it sounds. Spelt D-A-N-A-N-O biologist, all one word. Tim, now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Kebab says, it's Tuesday for me, bless, which I didn't realize Kebab's Australian? Like, how's that possible? Somebody, let me know.
He's from kindoffunny.com. He's New Zealand.
Yeah. Okay. Damn. Sometimes I forget that, like, they're that far in the future. That's wild.
That's crazy. I don't like that one.
Yeah, because we're, I don't like that one bit because we're in Monday morning still.
Yeah.
Unless, maybe it's still like nighttime. Like, maybe he's up very early.
He might be messing with us. You know what I mean?
Schlack says the plural of Lego is Lego, not Legos. Yeah. Which I'll take. Fair.
That's one of those things where it's fair. That's technically correct, but, you know, who's trying to be.
Nana Ball just hit me with Carrion is day and date on Xbox Game Pass, which I asked for, so thank you. And then the WWII game I was reading is World War II. It's a World War II game based in Poland. Let's see.
A lot of people are bringing attention to the fact that the people are saying that an exact time is now given for the rumored launch of the PlayStation 5 pre-orders.
Oh, interesting.
Being 12:30 Pacific time, so an hour and 22 minutes from now. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting where it goes. Nanobiologist also I see here saying that, like Tim said, retailers aren't ready to go live for PS5 pre-orders, but Amazon Australia has all the PS5 listings up without prices. Amazon puts up a lot of listings when they're not ready. Like, it's not about the listings not being ready. It's about Amazon, the site, not being ready for that many people to come to it at once. Because if Amazon crashes, they lose millions of dollars of business for every minute that they're down. So they need to make sure that they're prepared and the infrastructure is there. So just having a listing up doesn't mean anything.
Kebab says that he wakes up at 5 a.m. essentially for the show. And so shout out to Kebabs. That's wild. I wouldn't do that.
5 a.m. tomorrow. That's wild.
Yeah, to watch the show today. Whoa. It's wild. It's even more wild when you think about it. Grezik said, Tim, well, first of all, they say Tom, so you're wronging you. Said that it's Tuesday and not Monday. And
Tom.
That was part of the joke that Tim was saying that it's Tuesday. Then I had one more, but I lost it here that I wanted to shout out. But I can't find it, and so I'm going to leave it for another day. kindoffunny.com/Lego, I guess, for the Lego stuff. Tim, this week's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily go like this. Tomorrow it's me and Emron. Wednesday it's Greg and question marks. I don't know what that's about. So Widow Wednesday might not have Gary Widow, might have question marks there. Could be Tim, could be me, could be I'm trying to think of just a random name. I don't know. Could be a special guest. Who knows? Could be anybody. Weird. Thursday it's Greg and me, and then Friday it's me and Greg, and of course this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, game daily.